This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we're off and running. Welcome into the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, live from Drago's Seafood Restaurant in Baton Rouge. I-10 and College is where you can find us, along with one of the all-time winningest quarterbacks in LSU football history, quarterback Herb Tyler. I'm Christian Garrick. Our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines are open if you want to join the show at 504-260-1870. Herb Tyler, good to see you yet again. And, man, some upset alerts brewing across college football right now. In particular, Wake Forest on top of Clemson halfway through the fourth quarter, 38-35. Wake Forest Demon Deacons surprising some folks.
Well, it's a good look right there, man. Clemson is a very great, well-known team. However, all the national media outlets today were calling for Wake Forest to win this game, and it looks like they're right. So Wake Forest is on their way to a win.
LSU takes on New Mexico tonight, 6:30 kickoff from Tiger Stadium.
Yes,
LSU's
sir.
Favored by 30.5. Look, I'm not going to get into that. Remember, I was all about Southern. Oh, they won't cover against Southern. I'm not doing that anymore. Okay, I'm not falling in for that trap. So, nonetheless, from week one, let's take a snapshot. From week one to week three, I think you would agree with me that this team has made the incremental steps and improvement, something we thought they would, you know, kind of come out with a work in progress, but slowly but surely here they've improved.
So you start with Florida State, right? In Florida State, we were just a team trying to get to know each other, just individuals, trying to learn the coaching staff, trying to understand the type of offense, defense, and special teams that we'll be running throughout the year, and trying to learn that as a group. And we did everything we could to lose that game and still almost won. And when I say that is really exactly what happened. Now, then you move forward to the Southern game, and then, you know, you outman and you outmatch Southern, and then your number one offense scores, I don't know, 30 points in the first quarter or less than the first quarter. And then you go out and you continue to be, you know, a really great defensive team, running around the ball, flying around, making tackles, causing havoc. I enjoyed that. And then you turn around and you go into a Mississippi State game last week at home with a lot of pressure on you, people thinking that you're not a great team, that you're not going to do well at all, that Mississippi State's going to come here and put up 100 points on us. And guess what? The defense really showed up and showed out. They literally held them to 16 points. And I enjoyed watching the fact that these guys really flew around the ball without one of their best players in Mason Smith, who's out for the season. And they put pressure on the quarterback. They got sacks. We didn't let anybody get outside of us. We held contained on the defensive line. And then what we did see again, too, was the fact that our number one threat on our offensive side is Jaden Daniels. Whenever he's, you know, he may not be a five-step, get rid of the ball, three-step, get rid of the ball, and he's putting the ball on the target. But what he does do is win football games. When he gets in trouble, he can use his legs and he can move around. He makes defenses look really, really silly. And then he's a really tough cookie too, man, because he took some hits last week. And I was very proud of the way that he stood up to Mississippi State. And then I was also really, truly proud of the way that the guys bounced back from all the negative energy that they were getting from you know, different places or whatnot. And they just stood in there and they believed in themselves and they came out with a great victory.
You know, one of the things that I think is noticeable to her, and again, this is not, we're not talking about this team as a national championship contender.
Nobody
was coming into the year.
No.
I think the expectation was, can they get to eight, nine wins, perhaps, and show some improvement. But what I like is Major Burns is starting to come along as, you know, we saw the long line of safeties that this school has produced.
Yep.
And I think Major Burns is stepping in that direction, trending in that direction. Would you agree?
I agree. Major Burns, and I'm going to tell you who else. Jay Ward.
Last week,
Jay Ward showed up and showed out. I mean, you know, they took him from, you know, deep safety to along the line and pressuring the quarterback and really forcing the pressure to the run game and whatnot. But, I mean, that kid just he had a career game last week. And so – and then when you talk about Major Burns, he's coming off of a really great progressive game last week. He's turning into what we need him to be. A leader in the back there, coming up, making some plays, creating a little bit of havoc himself, and trying to be disruptive in the backfield.
And we're not going to just ignore the fact that the Tulane Green Wave are off to a 3-0 start. I know this is an LSU-driven show, but off to a 3-0 start, they beat K-State last week, and they got Southern Miss.
I mean, everybody in New Orleans right now that's a Wave fan right now is just ecstatic about what they're doing. And I've said this from the beginning. You get the right coach in there who's really committed to Tulane as a program, they're really going to get some really great players out of the Louisiana area, and then they can get a little pickings from, you know, Mississippi, Texas, Arkansas, and some players out of Florida. And this is what you get. You get a Willie Fritz who's got a team that's 3-0 that's went up to Kansas State last week and came back with a victory, and no one thought they would do that.
That was a big, big win for them.
Huge.
So I wanted to give Tulane
give them a little
share
out,
of
man.
Love.
Gotta give them a little
good
shout
start.
Yeah.
Look, as we've said multiple times on the show, we support all Louisiana,
teams.
We want all Louisiana schools and teams to have success. Primarily, we're focused on LSU, but man, we want if they're having success and they represent Louisiana, we're all about it.
That's right.
All right, we'll step away and come back. It's the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. He's Herb. I'm Christian, live from Drago's Seafood Restaurant in Baton Rouge. I-10 in college is where you can find us. Come on out and hang out, talk a little LSU football against New Mexico tonight at 6:30. This is WWL. Live from Drago's Seafood Restaurant in Baton Rouge College. I-10 in college is where you can find us. Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback. I'm Christian Garrett, getting you set for LSU and New Mexico, 6:30 kickoff. Final tune-up as LSU gets ready to go in this SEC gauntlet starting next week with Auburn. And I'm not going to say LSU's overlooking New Mexico, but this is a game, Herb, that you got to be careful. You can't come half-stepping because you know you're starting conference play next week.
They call it a trap game, right, for reasons that are just obvious. But I don't think that Coach Kelly's going to allow this team to become complacent because, I mean, I don't think that he thinks that they're where they need to be right now. I think there's a lot of growth that's still left in this team. There's a lot of people that need to continue to grow individually so that they can become better as a group and as a unit. And so I don't see Coach Kelly allowing this to happen. And New Mexico is going to – they're going to be in for it tonight. I'll say that.
Yeah, listen, if you're Brian Kelly, it's simple. You haven't done anything yet.
Nothing.
How could you look past this team? You haven't accomplished anything.
So you know, you beat a really decent Mississippi State team. You
beat played, up on a Southern team that you were clearly the better team.
You should have done that too.
Yeah.
And then you went kind of toe-to-toe with a Florida State team that couldn't be okay, maybe not, you never know, right? And so with that being said, that's nothing. You haven't done anything. And, you know, my wife was asking me this morning, do I think that they're going to end up going to the championship? I'm like, no, they're not going to go to the championship. I say they haven't played anyone. You know, they still have a lot of unanswered questions. The offensive line is still kind of – we're still trying to figure that out, even though they had some solid play last week from some true freshmen and some other guys that's been playing for a while now. But, I mean, there's a lot of different things that are going on within that team that needs to be addressed, and I don't think they have the answers yet.
Herb, you're in construction, and I think you'd appreciate this. I think basically you can hang a sign on LSU, work in progress, right?
Work in progress,
men at work. You know, kind of building this thing along.
That's right. The only good part about it that I like about it is that it's not Orleans
total
Parish,
rebuild.
Well, Orleans Parish sewage and water board where you got one guy working and 15 watching. So everybody's actually working. So you know, I'm feeling the way that Brian Kelly's watching and everybody else is working. I'm okay with that. So that being said, though. You know, here's the thing. Whenever they do put it together, whenever Jaden Daniels gets really comfortable with what he's doing with that offense, because he missed first and second reads a ton of times out there in that game last week. And if he can see that and deliver the ball and get the ball in the playmaker's hands immediately, they'll be fine. And then what else happened last week that I was really excited about was the fact that we did have somewhat of a rushing game outside of Jaden Daniels.
That's right.
And I enjoyed watching those kids run the ball a little bit, get some success, and that's only going to get better and better as this offensive line up front gets better and they grow together and we continue to push the ball down the field and or get the ball to the playmakers on, you know, within the line of scrimmage and let them make plays.
Georgia defeating Kent State 39-22, a much closer game than anyone anticipated. The Bulldogs were favored by 40 over Kent State, but that's for gamblers and odds makers. Yeah. It's not going to really matter. And I think this is, we were talking about looking past an opponent. I think Georgia fell victim to that today.
They did, but, you know, they're still up, 12 points or whatever that number is. And so when you take a look at that, that's one of the things that Nick Saban would always tell his guys all the time. And Sean Payton always said it too. He said, don't fall for the cheese or whatever. Don't eat the cheese. So those are things that you have to take in consideration. You have to be realistic. These guys are playing on the opposite side of you. It doesn't matter what they have on the side of their helmet or in front of their jerseys. They're going to play just as hard as they can play at any point in time. Now, you could think you're better than them, but that doesn't mean you're better than them as a group. They may have a really great group like Appalachian State against Texas A&M, right? I will say this, Georgia probably looking past Kent State. The difference, though, is that they're not going to lose the game. They're going to win the game.
Because they're so talented.
They're so talented, and they're going to – not just that, but I also think they're well coached, so they're going to make sure that they do the right things in order to win the game. They may not win by 40, but it's not their job to win by 40. Their job is just to win the game.
Yeah, there's no style points in college. Well, to a degree when you talk about rankings, et cetera. But
it used to be big time, but not as much anymore.
It's not that big of a factor. 38 all between Wake Forest and Clemson in the waning moments of the fourth quarter. It looks like we might be headed to overtime, free football, and Wake Forest has got Clemson on the ropes.
Yep. So, you know, once again, like I said, the national media outlets are all pulling for Wake Forest, and for good reason. And I'm going to tell you, you know, DJ Ungalulele is a very talented-looking quarterback, but he's missing something. And I don't know what that something is. And I think it's really more the confidence of just being able to deliver the ball on time to the right players and then, you know, and just making the play when it's time.
Next week's opponent for LSU, Auburn, they're headed to overtime with Missouri. So Mizzou and Auburn headed to overtime. Looks like some free football in the SEC.
Yep.
And I prefer, Herb, just as a football fan, I love the college overtime way better than the NFL. Way better.
I think the college overtime is very exciting.
Yeah.
I will say that. I mean, you give everybody an opportunity to win, score, whatever. And, it's definitely – and it kind of balances the field a little bit too, the game, if you will. The NFL, it used to be, you know, whoever scores first and that's it. But now they somewhat give the other team an opportunity to score. I think if they kick a field goal, the other team can have an opportunity to score a touchdown. But college is much better. But I'm going to tell you, just college football in general, in my opinion, is much more exciting football to watch when it comes on a weekly basis because you got so many different teams you can root for. You know, a lot of people root for the underdog teams that are playing other teams or whatever. Just because I'm an LSU fan, that doesn't mean I'm not going to root for Kent State to beat a Georgia, you know, and it's a lot more teams where that come from. So, but in the NFL, you know, I'm a Saints fan, and I really just watch Saints football. And I watch other people, don't get me wrong, and I enjoy it, and I love the NFL game for the maturation of the game that it is, you know, because it's a different game, completely different game.
Listen, I kind of agree with you in a sense from an underdog standpoint, but also I love the pageantry in college football that you don't necessarily find in the NFL. But nobody can play this game like those pros.
Nobody can't
do it. And look, college football, they've got some great players in
That's right.
But nobody can play this game better than the pros.
So
just can't.
In college, you can make a ton of mistakes and still almost win, kind of like what LSU did against Florida State. And you can make a ton of mistakes in the NFL and lose greater, kind of like Jameis Winston did against Tampa Bay. And I say that to say – they say the football game is a game of inches. It's in the pros, it's not only a game of inches, but it's a game of mentality, understanding the game. And the game comes to those guys so fast, like things happen so fast. They slow it. It looks like it's going slower than what it's actually doing. So I challenge people all the time. I say you can look at a game on TV and figure out and see, oh, he should have did this, he should have did that, he should have done that. Go down on the field. Watch a game from the field perspective or right at the field and – I guarantee you would not understand the thing that's happening. It's so fast.
Shifting gears a little bit, more focused on LSU. They shuffled the offensive line after week one of Florida State. I think they've got some guys in the right position now.
Yeah, yeah, not just in the right position, but I think you got guys that's confident in what they're doing now. And so you got a mix of younger guys, a little bit older guys, but I think Coach Kelly has found a group right now in the five offensive linemen that he trusts going into this game tonight and then potentially next week. And I think that the run game that we showed last week really showed his or gained more confidence in him and those guys. So I think that if we can continue to grow up front and we can give Jaden some time to find some guys or allow Jaden the time to just get to his second read and get the ball off, I think we'll be fine. But if we can open up that run game, it's really going to challenge some defenses going down the field.
Man, I'm just looking up here at the screen. It looks like Auburn just threw an interception in overtime on their first possession on one of those deflections. Missouri has the football at 14-14. And, man, look at the dejection on the Auburn fans, which, quite frankly, I'm okay with. And I've got a couple of friends that are Auburn fans, so I'm sure I'm going to get a couple of nasty text messages soon. But nonetheless, I like to see Auburn, especially Missouri. Missouri hasn't been in the SEC that long, right? And I think that would be a pretty big win for them to beat Auburn. And I know Auburn's nothing special this year, but my point is, you know, for Missouri, that would be a big win.
So it would be a huge win for Missouri. For me, I'm not really an Auburn fan. I mean, I've played against Auburn 3 years in a row, and they were one of the most difficult teams I've played against, and I don't have any love for them other than the fact that I love to beat them.
What was your record against them?
2-1.
2-1. Yep. All right.
And so I enjoyed playing in Jordan-Hare Stadium. It just reminded me of Tiger Stadium so much, to be honest with you. Not the noise level, nothing, but just the size of it and the sheer number of people there. So I'm looking forward to Missouri winning this game. I hope they do anyway. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Auburn is having some struggles at the quarterback position with T.J. Finley not playing this week and Ashford getting the start. But it's just, you know, it's Ashford's first time starting, so he's trying to get himself under control so he can understand what's going on so he can be the best quarterback that they need to be.
Should have Mike Dettillier here shortly, NFL and college football analyst. This is the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. It's 14-14,
yep.
Missouri and Auburn in overtime, LSU in New Mexico tonight at 6:30. We talked about the offensive line, Herb, and kind of college football. Landscape snapshot.
Yep.
It's amazing. I just asked you about Auburn, your record against Auburn during your playing time. You quarterbacks are so interesting in the sense that y'all are typically total team guys.
Yep.
But also proud of those individual wins. Like Bobby talks about his record against Steve Young all the time.
Yep.
So you quarterbacks are introspectively, I think, uber competitive. You don't make it outward about individuality.
No. So, you know, against Auburn, to go back to that, I was SEC Player of the Week against Auburn in 1998, and threw three touchdown passes, ran for two against Auburn in Jordan-Hare Stadium, and one of my best games ever that I've ever played in LSU, especially against an opponent like Auburn. But we are definitely quarterbacks or uber competitive. A lot of times when we're in certain settings, we'll be individualized competitive, saying what we did, what we've done. But when we're out in the open and everybody knows, we know, hey, look, it takes a team effort. And the offensive line, it starts up front with the offensive line and then everybody around us.
Listen, for those of you that may or may not know Herb Tyler, it's like I have to pull it out of him for him to talk about himself or his accomplishments. He doesn't just willy-nilly throw that stuff out there, just so you understand that. Mike D's notebook,
right,
brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at Thibodaux Regional Health System, breaking down LSU in New Mexico tonight. Mike D, how are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. So, Mike Dettillier, NFL and college football analyst. We'll get to LSU and New Mexico in a minute, but I'm looking at Auburn and Missouri in overtime, and that would be a big win for Missouri if they were to somehow get this win. They turned the ball over after getting it got overturned. The interception got overturned, so Auburn kicks a field goal. They're up 17-14.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in this spot here, they had an opportunity to put them away. They really did, and just didn't do it. And because this would have been the death nail, to be honest, this would have been the death nail to Brian Harsin.
For Brian Harsin
at Auburn, he's not going to survive if he loses this game. He wouldn't have survived. Bottom line, And so, boy, they come stumbling in, and they're not a good football team. You can see it. And, you know, Missouri's got a shot here because they get the ball back in overtime. But, man, you know, to me, Harsin, he's dead man walking at Auburn. They got rid of the one guy that has always supported him, and that's his athletic director. And so many different forces at Auburn, people behind the scenes who can cut a big check, that don't want him there anymore. They want him out. And I've been told one of the guys that they really are going to go after is primetime, Deion Sanders.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you think – would he be interested in that gig?
Well, it depends on how much money you throw at him. But I do know, you know, what makes Prime sort of scratch the itch. So I think Auburn, financially, they could come up with figures that are just unbelievable to get a coach in. And the one guy I think that would really scare
I'm sorry, Mike, let me interrupt you. Missouri was running into the end zone. The running back had it, fumbled it. It's a touchback.
He fumbled it. Now, I think they're going to look at it to make sure he's not out of bounds, but I think he fumbled it before, because I think they'd have ruled him out probably at the one-yard line, but he sticks the ball out, and the ball falls out of his hands. So it's a fumble and a touchback, and it looks as though, just from seeing it without it going to the booth, that Auburn's going to survive here with a 17-14 win. And Missouri, again, with another opportunity. They miss a field goal in the final seconds with a kicker that had really been good. I mean, that, okay, he sort of is built like me, but he's good kicking field goals. and then you have a running back that, you know, he'd have been down at the one, and the ball just falls out of his hands. And so, I mean, man, what a way to lose for Missouri. But I think it gives Austin another breathe, so to speak, on this. And, man, it's just crazy and how it has gone for Missouri. Because with two opportunities to win the game outright, and you kind of give it away.
Missouri has mastered the art of snatching
wins,
victory from the jaws of defeat. I mean,
they didn't do it a couple years ago when Miles got hurt. They were able to yank that one. Just again, difficult to lose a game like that. And for Auburn, you know, hey, listen, at the end of the day, it's just a matter of wins and losses, and that's all you're worried about is getting a W. And for Brian, that was all he was worried about is getting a W. He survives another week.
That's right. So Mike, how does LSU get a W this week and translate that into a W next week against Auburn to put that death nail in the coffin, as you say?
I think one of the things Brian would like to do is run the football better. I think you saw glimpses of it at times against Mississippi State. And, okay, I get it. You're starting two freshman tackles. And I thought both of them held up really well, especially in the pass protection part of the game. Mm-hmm. I thought Will did a really good job, and so did Emory. I thought Emory Jones did a really good job there. But I think they want to be able to run the football better. And now you got John Emory back. I'll be honest with you. I talked to people close to John. They didn't think he'd get that many touches or that many plays against State. And, man, he saw a lot more action than I think all of us thought he would. So I think that's a big part of it, to hit him. And there was a reason why when spring finished, Emory was the top guy. Brian didn't have to tell us that. Okay, it was obvious by the way he was talking. I can read through what he was saying. And so I think tonight you want to try to get your running game cranked up against New Mexico, who's not a very good team at all. So you want to try to get a little bit of confidence in your running game. And I think the one thing that showed up big against State was that you didn't necessarily have to blitz to get a pass rush. And all I know is DJ Ojulari, he was more in the backfield than Will Rogers was. I mean, every play, he was right there with Will. And, man, that was really strong. And then you saw every once in a while they would slip a blitz in. And, you know, you got the young freshman come in there. Man, he put some heat on the quarterback. Man, can he run?
Yes, he did. God. Yes, sir.
His ability to get from point A to point B is so impressive with that initial step and explosive ability to run up the field. Just jumps out at you. And so I want to see some more of that, because you put some pressure on this Auburn quarterback. If he's got to throw it, good luck. And Auburn's hard-headed. Give the damn ball to Tane Bigsby. Okay, how difficult is that? Okay, he's one of the top runners, not only in the SEC, but in the country. And you refuse to give him the ball. Again, it's perplexing what they want to do offensively. But all I know is Tank can play. Man, Tank can play big time. So, again, I think tonight for LSU, it's about building on that pass rush that they got up against State and a running game. But I think the biggest area they got to improve upon is special teams. They gave up some big run backs. And make sure you tell your return man, hey, I don't give a damn about field position at that point in the game. Get away from the ball. No. You know, get away from it. This isn't the ABCs, or shouldn't be, of special teams. And yet, we've seen it 2 out of 3 weeks. Some real major breakdowns on special teams. And last week, it was the coverage units giving up some big returns.
Mike, it looks like Wake Forest just went on top of Clemson 45-38 in overtime. How big of an upset would this be? I know some national guys predicted this win for Wake Forest, but are we learning a little bit more about Clemson that they're perhaps not as good as some might think?
Well, they're not as good as they were a few years back, and it's why a lot of people, including us, took the 7 points. So you get it. And that number actually rolled up to 7.5 by the end of the week. I just think that if you look at the quarterback play for Clemson, and the defensive line play for Clemson, it isn't in the same area code as what we saw years ago. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. And you think about those two quarterbacks that were there. They had Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. Man, come on. You got to take a step down from those two guys.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
I mean, they played at the highest level, but then a couple years ago, they had 4 defensive linemen that all went round one. 4 of them. Guys.
Yep. Touchdown Clemson.
Yeah. That is really impressive when you can post 4 first-round pick defensive linemen. And I think that's where you don't see the pass rush and the inability to cause havoc in the backfield like those 4 guys can do. And we talk about it every week. You got to win in the trenches. And Wake Forest could not match them years past in the trenches.
Nope.
But they can match them at quarterback and defensive line today.
NFL and college football analyst Mike Dettillier. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Y'all take care.
Thank you, Mike.
Tied at Wake Forest between Clemson and the Demon Deacons. 45 all in overtime. We'll keep you up to date on that game. Also continuing to preview LSU hosting New Mexico tonight in Death Valley. Kickoff at 6:30 right here on WWL. Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgate and Show live from Drago's in Baton Rouge on LSU and New Mexico tonight with Herb Tyler and myself, Christian Garrick. But, man, we can't keep our eyes off this TV. First of all, we're at Drago's here. This bar is fantastic. You got so many big screen TVs. Got, I think, eight.
Yep.
I mean, at every angle, every turn, you can find a college football game on.
Yep.
But this game between Clemson
Wake Forest.
And Wake Forest right now is, and we can't hear it because, but man, it looks great. 51-45 in overtime.
Second overtime.
Clemson failed for their two-point conversion on a great play from Wake Forest. So if Wake Forest scores a touchdown here and converts, they're going to be Clemson.
Yep. And I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
I mean, I like Clemson. Don't get me wrong. I like Dabo or whatnot. But at the end of the day, I think Wake Forest has deserved to win this game. They played really hard. I think they finally need a win like this to kind of catapult them. They're number 21 in the country right now. Maybe a win like this maybe brings them to 17, 18 or so. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's. I think it'll be great for college football.
It would be outstanding for college football.
Oh, no, not an intercept. Oh.
No, couldn't.
Yep.
No, incomplete. Looked like it was going to be an interception there for a second.
Should have been.
But that's it. Ball game. That was fourth down. So that's Clemson's going to win over Wake Forest 51-45, and we were rooting against the Clemson.
Well, look.
The reason why this is the original Death Valley down here.
That's right. That's right. And they tried to steal everything from us, but as Scott knows, we went and played Clemson in the Peach Bowl, and we took them out. We won 10-7. I was the MVP of that game. One touchdown, baby. That's it. You know? But at the end of the day, we are the real Death Valley down here. They try to steal our name and everything like we do here, and they have been one of the perennial great football teams coached by a great guy. Over the past, what, 7-8 years now?
Yeah.
And they well deserve. But that's why they can win a game like this, because they've been there before and they understand how to win those types of games.
You know, Dabo is so mercurial. Some people are either all in on him or they're totally repulsed by him. Where do you stand?
You know, I don't.
Don't really care?
I don't think one way or the other about him. Sometimes he says some stuff, but it's freedom of speech. You say what you want.
Yeah, right?
I don't really care. But. I think that he does a phenomenal job with his kids, and he gets those guys where they need to be, whether it's in the NFL or whether, you know, they're graduating and doing the right things outside of football. I think he does a great job of that. I don't see him not supporting these guys whenever they don't make it to the NFL or even don't make it on their team. I mean, I just remember just watching him, the way he handled that Trevor Lawrence situation with the other guy that was quarterback. I can't remember his name, and because I was at that game at Georgia Tech, and he pulled the other guy, Travis, I think was his last name or something, and he put Trevor in there, and Trevor threw four touchdown passes that game, and the way he handled that between those two guys I thought was very professional.
He's Herb Tyler. I'm Christian Garrick. This is the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show live from Drago's Seafood Restaurant Baton Rouge, I-10 in College. Come on out and hang out. We'll be here for about another hour and 40 minutes getting you set for LSU and New Mexico right here tonight at 6:30 on WWL. Herb Teasy.
Off the Heezy.
A.K.A. back here at the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Live from Drago Seafood Restaurant in Baton Rouge. I-10 in College is where you can find us. And Tennessee, Florida going on right now, just underway. And is the Big Orange back? Are they back? I mean, you know, is they haven't been relevant since Phil Fulmer was there.
Yep. So saying they're back right now is a really hard statement for me to buy into. They're on their way to becoming something better than what they were before. Let me say that. However, are they back? I don't know. But, you know, look, I would love for them to be able to beat Florida today. But I'm kind of torn between that because I hate Florida, but I really do like Billy Napier, right?
Yeah.
And there's some guys on that staff that's really close friends of mine, Corey Raymond, you know, and Jabbar Jalouk. I mean, those guys are really good guys. I like them on the Florida staff. Now, you know, when you look at Tennessee has a great quarterback, and I think they have a great coach in Josh Heupel who can really, truly groom this guy to be something really great. This is their opportunity to beat Florida. I don't know when the last time they beat them, 10 years ago or so. So this is going to be really cool to watch this game today and try to see what happens here. But I'm actually pulling for the Vols to win this game to get Florida a loss.
And look,
Tennessee can pull it off.
Look at Neyland Stadium. It's packed full. Got Florida. This used to be a big, big, big rivalry. And
yep.
I love watching college football and seeing the checkered board end zones of Tennessee. I mean, that's kind of a staple.
Yep.
Right, and of course, Rocky Top. We talked about pageantry earlier.
Yep.
I think college football, the SEC, is better when Tennessee has some relevance.
I mean, it's just like it's better when, I know you hate it, when Texas has some relevance as well, when Notre Dame has some relevance or whatnot. But at the end of the day, it's okay if they don't, and then that next team up does, right? Like a Clemson or, you know, or LSU's time or whatnot. But, yeah, it's all pretty cool. And it's one of those things where it's all about history when it comes to college football. It's that's the biggest thing about college football. It's the history of where it started, how it maturated into what you see today.
1 hour down, 90 minutes to go here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Coming up next hour, Jimmy Smith, TigerDetails.com publisher, and your calls at 504-260-1870. Come hang out with us. We're at Drago Seafood Restaurant in Baton Rouge, I-10 in College. Getting you set for LSU and New Mexico tonight at 6:30 right here on the home of the Fighting Tigers, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.